The assistant chief clerk will call the roll.
6th day, Monday, February 19th, 2018, roll call to convene. Allen?
Here.
Hi. Barlow?
Here.
Bightman?
Here.
Blackburn?
Here.
Blake?
Here.
Bovey?
Here.
Brown?
Here.
Burkhart?
Here.
Bird?
Here.
Clausen?
Here.
Klim? Conley,
here.
Court,
here.
Crank,
here.
Dayton,
here.
Edwards,
here.
Eklund,
here.
Ayer,
here.
Flitner,
here.
Freeman,
here.
Furphy,
here.
Garou,
here.
Gray,
here.
Greer,
here.
Haley,
here.
Hallinan,
here.
Halverson,
here.
Henderson,
here.
Hunt,
here.
Jennings, Kinner,
here.
Kirkbride,
here.
Larson Lloyd,
here.
Larson Dan,
here.
Lindholm,
here.
Lone,
here.
Laux,
here.
McGuire,
here.
Madden,
here.
Miller,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Northrop,
here.
Obermuller,
here.
Olson,
here.
Paxton,
here.
Pelkey,
here.
Piperinen,
here.
Pownell, Salazar,
here.
Schwartz,
here.
Simpson,
here.
Summers,
here.
Steinmetz,
here.
Stith,
here.
Sweeney,
here.
Walters,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Swanitzer,
here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
We have 60 present.
Beautiful. Okay, we have Reverend Bob Thompson, representing First Presbyterian Church here in Cheyenne, to lead us on our morning prayers. Please stand.
Good morning. From Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all God's benefits. Who forgives our iniquities, who heals diseases, who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns us with steadfast love and mercy, satisfies us with good as long as we live, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Almighty God, you are the creator of all things, and you have given us this beautiful world. We recognize the beauty of the great state of Wyoming, and we are blessed to call Wyoming home. Lord, we thank you for your creativity. Help us to be mindful that all that we have and all that we see belongs to you. We are only stewards of your creation. Eternal God, you have plans for us and the power to make them happen. On this President's Day, we remember the great leaders that have guided this country. We thank you for their wisdom, and we lift up to you our President and this administration. Ever-present God, by your providence and through the voice of the people, the women and men in this room have been chosen to serve as representatives in this state. Give each legislature and government worker a knowledge of your will for the world, for Wyoming, and for their communities. Empower them as they serve a public trust beyond personal gain or glory. May we see that no community or state lives for itself alone, but is responsible to you for peace and for the well-being of all people. God, I thank you for these representatives, for their willingness to serve, the wisdom you have given them. I pray for their health and strength during long days of hard work. Provide them energy and clear minds. God, we know that most of these men and women are away from their families as they serve. We pray for those relationships, that you strengthen and bless them during this time. God, I pray for the work that is coming before them today. As they study and debate, may you guide their decisions by your Holy Spirit. Lead them through the process of discernment, that the work they do may reflect your will and bring you glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Feeling better?
Good morning. Is our doctor of the day here? Doctor or nurse of the day? Okay, our nurse of the day is it Marisha Van Fleet from Rocky Mountain Care, and that's in Evanston, I believe. Is that right? I know. Home of the Red Devils, and as our resident train historian, Representative Blake would tell us, those are those embers that used to fly out of the old little Red Devils. Would go down your glove, yow, that was hurt. Now we're called Red Devils. A little history for you there. Well, thank you, nurse, for being here today. We appreciate your service today. Are there any? It looks like we might have a privilege of the floor. Representative Jennings.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I direct your attention back to the bowl. And the loveliest lady in the world is also attended by my daughters, the two lovely ladies, Holly and Kristen Jennings.
Well, welcome to the House. Representative Piperina.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to direct your attention to the microphone here. And welcome, former State Representative Robert McKinn, who's listening in from the Valley of the Stars.
Hey!
Hi, Robert.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Well, Chairman McKim, great that you're listening. And hopefully you'll have something a little better to do this afternoon. Okay, Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On Friday, you all received a little yellow flyer in your inbox regarding Girl State, a fantastic program sponsored by the American Legion Auxiliary for girls who have finished their junior year of high school. We take these young ladies from all over the state and we give them a week of civics education. The girls get to serve in the Girl State House, Senate, and the court system. They have to write bills. They have to run for office. And last year we had Representatives Steinmetz, Larson, Dan, and Connolly come and join us, as well as some senators. And we urge you to talk to your high school about the girls who will be finishing up their junior year this June or May and join us in Laramie for Girl State. And
is it in Cheyenne?
In Cheyenne at Laramie County Community College.
And just to add on to that, Mr. Speaker, the Boys State program, similar to what the good representative just said, it takes place the first week of June at the State Fairgrounds in Douglas. I help run that along with a couple of state senators, but if anyone is interested in going to Douglas to help with Boys State the first week of June, we'd be happy to have you. And also a thank you to all the legislators in here who helped both Girls State and Boys State delegates with writing their bills this year. I know I had several delegates say that they met with their legislator, and actually two Boys State bills made it into the bill list that we're doing. I don't think either one passed introduction, but I was impressed to see two of the bills that our high school kids brought to Boys State actually were carried by representatives on this floor this year, so I was impressed.
Okay, thank you. We're at that order of business of journal committee reports. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, could you please come up here? Thank you. Journal Committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 16, 2018 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Gray and Representative Guru.
Next are reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 36, move-over requirement respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters. No, Representative Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 66, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. No, Representative Nicholas. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 119, Genetic Information Privacy, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom was referred House Bill 53, State Educational Program, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Bovee, Brown, Flitner, Hunt, Kinner, Northrop, Paxton, Piperinen. No, Representative Freeman. Signed, Representative Piperinen, Acting Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number nine, Minerals, Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 144, Wyoming Invest Now Exemption Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Representatives Byrd, Clausen, Crank, Ayer, Gray, Greer, Henderson, Lindholm, and Laux. Signed, Representative Greer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred House Bill 49, Unemployment Compensation Exemption, Seasonal Employment, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Dayton, Giroux, Hallinan, Halverson, Lone, McGuire, and Sweeney. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. I forgot your title. Thank you, Representative Miller. Okay, I'd like to refer to Appropriations House Bill 53.
Any other announcements, privileges of the floor before we get started on second reading? Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I need to re-refer to committee number two, House Bill 59. Sorry, I'm not as ready as I need to be. 59. Excuse me. I got the overachiever syndrome going on again.
Okay, moving on. We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 8. The reading clerk.
House Bill 8, introduced by Joint Judiciary, Stalking Revisions, an act relating to stalking crimes, offenses, and protective orders.
We do have an amendment. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I move second reading amendment number one and ask for your favorable consideration. Members of the 64th, this is a pretty quick amendment. Really what this does is taking out B and C of the language that caused so much controversy late last week, getting rid of the fear statute, and basically cleans that up and leaves it back to where it was. This also takes down, if you look on line 6 of the amendment, it actually deletes 3 and inserts 2 years of probation. If you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer it on you, but this just takes care of the B and C in the statute. Thank you.
Further discussion? Chairman Kirkbright.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I'd urge the body to resist this amendment. I think the protections that you're seeking here are found in the fact that a course of conduct must be proved, and we're talking about fear that a reasonable person would experience. This was a number one priority in our bills that we were deliberating on over the summer. Very often property is a consideration, a house, a pet. That's included in the elimination, in the amendment portion that they're wanting to delete. Protections for your associates, your family, your siblings. Very often they get roped in on one of these deals. So there was a reason that the language that's appearing here was in there, and I'd ask you to leave it in there. As to the 2 years from the three on the probation period, again, I think sometimes the therapy program extends beyond a year. Whether does it go beyond 2 years, I don't know, but three was the suggestion. We didn't think that was gratuitous. It's still up to the judge to determine the length. So I urge you to resist the amendment. Thank you.
Just a reminder for the body, especially our two new members, is you get two chances at this. If you want to speak the second time, you need to reserve it the first time. So if you don't want to say anything the first time, just get up and say reserving for the second time. You know, just keep it simple. Mr. Minority Whip, are you ready?
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. On and against the amendment, The 3 year figure on probation is a maximum, and in some cases, it's just about the amount of time that folks, particularly with domestic violence and anger issues, need treatment before, and this would allow the court to extend that probation period up to 3 years. It doesn't mandate 3 years. As for the other language in the amendment, I rise in opposition to that as well. I think The bill has been carefully vetted, and while I know a lot of people express concern over the fact that feeling fear is a subjective standard, the reasonable person standard applies as an objective standard, and there are criteria that have to be met before that element of the statute would apply.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move to divide the amendment. If you're ready,
proceed.
Division 1 would be lines 1 through 4, and divisions 2 would be line 5 through 7 on the amendment. And I think I need you to rule that's divisible.
That's good.
I like it too. Thanks. So if I could, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, let's take division 1 first. So this is on page...
Hey, division 1 is lines 1 through 5?
Sure, 1 through 4, 1 through 5. Again, so on division 1, this is a language on page 2 that talks about fear. And so I actually like it currently in statute. If you look up there on A on line 12, substantial emotional distress. I think I understand what that means, and I think it's objective. When I read B and say fear for their safety or the safety of another person and which in fact causes such fear, A, I don't like the word such in legislation in the beginning, but I just think that's too subjective for law, and I don't know how you prove that, and I think I see two attorneys on the amendment and another attorney next to me who are probably going to talk about that same issue about subjective language, and so I just think the bill is cleaner moving forward if we take that out, and that would be on Division 1.
Representative Olson, Division 1, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm going to urge some caution on the first division here, and the reason why is because if you take a look at your legislation here, and I really urge you to pick this up and look at page 2. I'm going to show you where the objective test actually exists. It exists right on lines 9 and 10. So we're looking at these provisions that are lines 12 through 20, but an individual prosecutor doesn't just prove fear for the safety. No, no, no. If you back up, look at lines 9 and 10. It says that the defendant knew or should know would cause a reasonable person to, fear for their safety. That's an objective test in the law. It requires the prosecutor to prove not just fear, but that a reasonable person would feel that fear. The second part of each of those provisions is the subjective test. So, for example, let's take B. So the prosecutor must first prove, one, that a reasonable person would fear for their safety or the safety of another person, and, on line 17, which in fact causes such fear. That's the subjective element. So the person who is the victim of the fear must, of course, testify, I'm assuming, or there may be another way to prove this, that they felt the fear, but that's not all that has to be proved. The objective test exists. The reasonable person standard is in here, and it applies to substantial emotional distress, fear for safety, and fear for destruction of property. So I think for those of you who are worried that this may cast an extremely wide net, it's not going to. That's why we have a reasonable person standard. It's no different than any other criminal statute that we use, the reasonable person standard. So I'd urge caution on that. I think the bill's extremely tight, and it doesn't cast a wide net in that sense, but I know my good friend, the chairman of Minerals, may say different here in a moment.
Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I rise in support of the first revision on this amendment, and it comes back again to what we're talking about. These stalking laws are difficult to enforce all the way around, and I'm not saying that they're not needed, and everyone's heard these horrific stories of people, but it's very difficult for us to go out and try to legislate behavior. It's difficult for us to fix crazy, quite frankly. But this goes a step too far. I appreciate the work of the committee, because the stuff on the jurisdiction, that's great work, and that was needed in the law, so I appreciate that work. But when we come into expanding this now to the issue of fear for your person or a family member or fear for destruction of your property, what we're saying then is that people that are in these situations have a right to go ahead and file one of these petitions against somebody, and sometimes they're done for good reasons, sometimes they're not. And when we start talking about fear, you know, while we say this reasonable person standard, I can assure you that the judges always err on the side of caution, and that reasonable standard's not there. They will look at this and say, okay, there's a situation here, and I'm going to be cautious of this. The standard that's in law right now has worked relatively well, and it talks about coming in and having that person who is seeking to have a restraining order or one of these orders put against them have to show that they are being caused emotional distress. We could look at this and say a course of conduct, which could be two texts from a very upset person in the middle of a very contested or heated divorce, making comments about coming and getting a piece of property and taking that piece of property or causing damage to that piece of property, and this restraining order goes in place. And I'll be blunt on this. These types of actions get used to swing the weight, the scales, when you're in the middle of a custody battle or divorce proceedings. I think it's important that we have protections in law. I really do in these situations. But it's a really fine line. And when I was in law school, I went through and did a case note on these and looked at all of the different statutes around the country. And everybody struggles with where is that particular line. The line where we're at right now is fine. The bill with cleaning up the jurisdiction is great. This expansion is too much. It is too much, and I applaud the bringer of the amendment, and I would support it and encourage you to support this. Thank you.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. I am against this division. This is not about fixing crazy. This is about addressing a real serious issue in the failure of our criminal statute to address stalking well. And it does so in a very tight way. Again, I want to remind you that the issue regarding fear is talked about in other elements of our statutes. It's not a subjective term. Again, it is used in our robbery and blackmail statute. So let me read what it says in robbery and blackmail. A person is guilty of robbery if in the course of committing a crime, he, one, inflicts bodily injury upon another, or two, threatens another with or intentionally puts him in fear of immediate bodily injury. Fear is used in robbery and blackmail. It absolutely can be used in stalking. Our prosecutors, our defense attorneys, know how to interpret that term and do it well. We should not exclude it from stalking where it's absolutely an element that needs to be taken into account. So I would ask you to vote no on this division.
Representative Stith.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Speak in favor of Division 1. I echo the comments of Representative Greer. I wanted to point out to the body that there in one of the part of the language that gets stricken is the phrase or the family of a specific person. And the intent there, I think, of the original bill was to expand the universe, but what this bill, in fact, what that language, in fact, does is it reduces the number of people who would be subject to protection under it. So, for example, by striking or the family of a specific person, what you have done is you've made it so that if someone stalks an entire group of people, that's no longer stalking. So it's an odd consequence of the bill. The other problem, I speak in favor of Division 1 because we don't say substantial fear. It's certainly not fear of immediate bodily injury as in the robbery statute. It just says fear. The vagueness and overbreadth of this causes me to speak in favor of this amendment. Stalking is unusual in criminal statutes for the following reason. Stalking is the one statute I'm aware of where you can commit a lawful act, and then you can commit a second perfectly legal act, and a third perfectly legal act, and every individual act you have done is perfectly legal, but it adds up to a crime. And the result of that is that defendants often are not on notice of what's a crime and what is not. Thank you.
Just a reminder not to use proper names when you're addressing other representatives here. And Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Majority Floor Leader. Folks, as we, I talked a little bit about this on the first reading, and I talked about somewhat of a precursor of the same discussion we're having here today. I'm in favor of this division and ask that you'd support it. We've talked some here what about fear and how we interpret that. If you go up back up to on page 2 to lines 8 and 9 there, it talks about directed at a specific person that the defendant knew would have caused a reasonable person to do suffer or fear. And you know, I struggle with that a little bit, but I think you can a lot of times prove when somebody knew something malicious was going to take place. The problem I'm having here is the second half of that sentence where it says, or should have known. And I don't know how you prove that somebody should have known. I just think in my life, the number of times I've heard, Lloyd, you should have known. Or you should have known this, or you should have, and well, possibly, but I didn't. And so I'm going to be punished because in this I'm going to be punished because I should have known, even though I may not have. I just think that it's very difficult to really capture the intent of that defendant and what they do know versus what they should have known.
We're on Division 1. Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their first time? Mr. Chairman.
For my second time?
Your second time.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Currently Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to push back a little bit on this concept of fear being in our statutes, because I went through the entire statutes, and the word fear, out of 42 titles of law, is only used 9 specific times. And it's never defined, never once. In 3 of those, it's in an oath. You're using an oath that you're going to assess property or you're going to uphold the law without fear. The four times it actually is used in any type of legal proceeding, it says reasonable fear. There's only one place in our entire statutes, and it is the robbery statutes, that just uses this subjective word of fear. And so I totally understand what the bringers of the bill are trying to do. I think they just need to get rid of that subjective word, fear. And if we take it out today, that'll put some imperative on them to bring back a third reading amendment that cleans it up, and I think we can all be comfortable moving forward. But again, just because of a you don't like subjective words in law, and I'm, I can tell you that because three lawyers got up and all argued about it. So if you don't want more lawyers arguing about it, take those words out now. We'll find something on third reading we can all support and push the bill forward.
We're on Division One. Anyone else for their second time? Seeing none. Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The noes have it. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. Okay, all those opposed, please stand. Division One has failed. 29-30. We're now on Division 2. Any discussion on Division 2? Any discussion on Division 2? Oh, there's
I'll defer. I like.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Division 2 has failed. Back on the bill. All those in favor of House Bill 8? Oh, let's see. We don't get to... Okay. House Bill 8, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 76.
House Bill 76, Prime Sponsor, Appropriations, Supplemental Security Income Program, an act relating to the State Supplemental Security Income Program.
House Bill 76, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 88.
House Bill 88, Prime Sponsor, Appropriations, States Construction Department Amendments, an act relating to the State Construction Department.
House Bill 88, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 101.
House Bill 101, sponsored by Representative Lindholm, Electronic Corporate Records, an act relating to the Wyoming Business Corporations Act.
House Bill 101, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 126.
House Bill 126, sponsored by Representative Olson, Limited Liability Companies Series, an act relating to limited liability companies.
House Bill 126, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Speaker Pro Tem. I think the speaker's coming back.
Members, just got some sad news that our former colleague, Tom Lockhart, passed away last night. Yeah, so that's why I've been, that's why my absence here from the chair. But and so I don't have any other details. All you folks who've been here a while know him and his wife, Lynn. Got four wonderful children. Tom was a... I think he went to Jefferson Elementary. He's a Casper kid. And so we'll learn more, I think, about when and those things. So maybe just we'll just take a moment of silence. So. You know, and Representative Lockhart, he did a lot for a lot of us. He was a real mentor to many of us, and a veteran, and just did a lot. I love Wyoming, and University of Wyoming graduate, and did a great deal for the University of Wyoming, and so we're certainly going to miss him. But as we get more information, we'll certainly pass that on. So, thoughts and prayers with his family. Okay, that's tough. We are now on bills on third reading consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Sad news, Mr. Speaker. I came in with Representative Lockhart. He was the long-serving chairman of Minerals and did a great job for the state, and we'll miss his wisdom and friendship. With that, Mr. Speaker, I move the consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 4, 19, 21, 23, 28, 40, 70, and 72.
Okay, would any members, I think we might have an amendment or two on it. Any members would like
to? Yeah, Mr. Speaker, we have a couple of amendments, 40 and 70.
So 40 and 70 are off the list.
And 28.
Okay, so I have a new list then, with taking that in mind, it'd be 4, 19, 21, 23, and 72. Is that right?
Correct, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, would any members, I'll repeat that again, 4, 19, 21, 23, and 72, would any members like any of those bills removed from the consent list? Okay, I'd ask the reading clerk to read these bills through the enacting clause.
House Bill 4, sponsored by Select Committee, Capital Finance and Investment, Investment of State Funds Amendments, an act relating to public funds. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 19, sponsored by Representative Miller, Wyoming Money Transmitter Act, Virtual Currency Exemption, an act relating to trade and commerce. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 21, sponsored by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, State Parks Designations, Updates, an act relating to state parks and historic sites. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 23, sponsored by corporations, elections, and political subdivisions, audit requirements for conservation districts, an act relating to conservation districts, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 72, sponsored by Representative Barlow, ad valorem tax collections, an act relating to ad valorem taxation, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Roll call on the consent. Allen? Barlow? Bightman? Blackburn? Blake? Bovee? Brown? Burkhart? Bird? Clausen? Clem? Connolly? Court? Crank? Dayton? Edwards? Eklund? Ayer? Flitner? Freeman? Furphy, aye. Giroux, aye. Gray, aye. Greer, aye. Haley, aye. Hallinan, aye. Halverson, aye. Henderson, aye. Hunt, aye. Jennings, aye. Kinner, aye. Kirkbride, aye. Larson Lloyd, aye. Larson Dan, aye. Lindholm, aye. Lone, aye. Laux, aye. McGuire, aye. Madden, aye. Miller, aye. Nicholas, aye. Northrup, aye. Obermuller, aye. Olson, aye. Paxton, Pelkey, Piperinen, Ponell, Salazar, Schwartz, Simpson, Summers, Steinmetz, Stiff, Sweeney, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Zwanitzer, Mr. Speaker. As per House Bill 40, are there any changes? As per House Bill 4, are there any changes? Gray, aye to no. Zwanitzer, aye to no. Piperinen, aye to no. Steinmetz, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Hallinan, aye to no. Halverson, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 52 aye, 8 no. As per House Bill 19, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye. As per House Bill 21, are there any changes? Jennings, aye to no. Lone, aye to no. Edwards, aye to no. Piperinen, aye to no. Further changes. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 no. As per House Bill 23, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye. As per House Bill 72, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 4, 19, 21, 23, and 72 have passed the House. We're at that order of business and bills on third reading, final passage, regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 28. The reading clerk, please read the bill.
House Bill 28, sponsored by Education. Education reporting children of military personnel. an act relating to education accountability. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment to Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 28 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about this matter at length during first reading, and the big concern that was arose during this was the deployment of our military members. The military, much like any other job, has a 9-to-5, regular schedule. And so it's not those times that we need to be concerned with them. They're going to work in the morning. They're coming home at night. They're spending with their families, just like oil workers, just like coal workers, just like every other profession in our state. The issue that was arisen in this body was the issue of deployment. So this amendment addresses that point and adds deployment to the requirement for that reporting. So I stand now for any questions and ask for your favorable consideration on this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else? Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I stand opposed to the amendment on House Bill 28. ESSA did not address the equal and, some have said, the greater impact of part-time military service on the on the children of members of our reserve forces. The children of these part-time military families also face the same family disruption, uncertainty, and fear of having a parent deployed to combat zone. And with the added stress of it not being part-time of their normal life, unlike an active duty, they too have adjustments and psychological issues directly affecting their education, which the local schools can address if they're aware of the part-time military connections. Since the department and the Wyoming school districts cannot collect data on these students at this time unless required by either state or federal law, this bill is proposed to our committee to add part-time military status to the current data collection. So student data is also profoundly collected or protected, by FERPA. The department takes the FERPA very seriously. There are actually two locked doors between everybody and the people who deal with data. Student data, such as military status, will only be collected upon registration of the student, and thus to turn it off and on when somebody is deployed makes it very difficult or maybe even impossible. So data reported to the department is only once each semester, and again, that makes data collection very hard to get done. If you do not mark that upon registration of the student, what happens to the families upon immediate deployment? Also, the military in question takes great pride in following their families. I'd like to know, why are the kids acting up? How are the kids doing in school? Why are families being stressed? If a member of the family is missing for a period of time, why did they come back and there was a divorce? They want to know. They want to follow what's going on in the families. And also, I would ask, why only outside deployments? Because the Guard commonly goes out to hurricane relief areas, and they spend months there. And so that still stresses the families. So resist this amendment, and let the families of the military be respected. Thank you.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, this bill is designed to help kids of our military personnel. You know, we're a really military-friendly body, and this extends to the kids of those service members stationed in Wyoming or moving into Wyoming. We need to be able to address the reality that kids move from school districts where the standards, the education is different. What they have available to them is different than here. Let's get the data that we need and transfer that data in order to help these kids as much as possible. Deployment is way too narrow of a limitation. And instead, what we should do is put at the center thinking about the kids and what's best for them and our teachers in order to help them. So on and against this amendment.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As someone who has been deployed, I have a 9-year-old son, and I support this amendment. I think it's unnecessary regulation. And I will tell you, members, that the military takes very good care of the children using Military OneSource. They are very taken care of by the military, who know better than anyone else what is required and needed for these children when a parent or parents are deployed. This is a good amendment. This is a good amendment, and I would ask your support. Thank you.
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm actually kind of caught in between on this amendment based on the premise that I think what it tries to get to is a good thing, but a year or more, I was in the military too. Most of your deployments are 9 months, 6 months. So effectively, this would never be triggered. And I think that's the intent of the amendment. So if that's the case, on it against the amendment, but also on it against the legislation, based on the premise that we've never actually heard what these subgroups amount to. We've never heard, is there a federal hinge here as far as funding is concerned? So that being the case, if we're just putting it in there just because everybody else is, and on it against the bill.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of this amendment, I fail to see how military kids, whether their parent or parents are deployed or not, represent a subgroup of students that need tracking. I wonder, are we tracking kids as their parents separate in the process of getting a divorce? What other aspects that could of our kids can be tracked to explain acting out? Why military kids? That has never been explained satisfactorily to me. I wonder in the back of my mind if they want to know about military kids, is there might be some guns in the household that perhaps they'd like to know about. I just don't understand what is it about military children that the public schools need to know the deployment or not deployment status of their parents. Thank you.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, originally I was in support of this, and then I got to looking at what this bill or what this amendment actually does to the bill. And ladies and gentlemen, if we do this, we just take about a year and a half of really hard work that the department that deals with education in this state has just put together with Every Student Succeeds Act. That particular act from Congress does require them to pull certain data. And if we put this in, if you look at line one on this amendment, it says before military and insert deployed. That completely strips out everything that we're reporting for ESSA requirements right now and takes us out of compliance with ESSA regulations. So if we do this, we are, again, I was originally in support of this, but unfortunately the way that this amendment is written is really going to hurt a lot of hard work done by our executive branch and what they have done to make sure that we have a good plan going forward. So unfortunately, I would urge to vote no on this particular amendment.
Representative Eklund. Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. What I'm hearing here is that maybe the legislature is nosing in on some business we shouldn't be in on. I did a little bit of research on this because this bill it ties in with my own committee, and people should be aware that the military was involved in this whole process in inserting this. They wanted to be sure that none of their children from their families were falling through the cracks, and I think that's all it does. I don't think it's an intrusion or ever intended to be an intrusion, and I think you need to be aware the military was involved in this, not just the Education Committee.
Okay, Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think the previous speaker covered a lot of what I was going to say. There was heavy involvement of the military. We did hear in our committee meeting testimony from folks that have a great deal of expertise in the legal field that they were in support of and helped craft the language for this. So on and against the amendment for the bill, and you have to keep in mind also that there's nothing, there's no punitive action behind this. If someone fails to make a check mark next to that part-time, there's not going to be a warrant issued, and nobody's coming after them.
Anyone else for their first time on the amendment? Anyone else would like to speak for the first time? Any of those members who spoke now for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So upon looking at the amendment, and you see on first line one, it says page one, line three, before military, insert deployed. And so, as was already pointed out, this changes the entire outlook of this bill and ESSA within Wyoming. Vote against this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Support the amendment, defeat the bill. Let's draw the line right here, right now, about all this reporting that we're being required to do, that money might be attached to. Let's draw this one little line right here today. Support the amendment, defeat the bill.
Anyone else for their second time or the sponsor? Seeing none. Representative Lone, your second time.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I would like to just point out one last mention about the short-term deployments that we do go on. You heard about Military One Source. It's a program we have in the military. We also have something called Family Service Support Centers, who are geared specifically for that need of short-term rapid deployments. They help families, and they are trained to help families. It seems that it's just legitimate that we utilize them to their fullest. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We are voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 28. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
The amendment has failed. Division being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number one, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Third reading amendment number one has failed. Back on the bill, no further amendments. House Bill 28, having been read three separate times, question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
House Bill 28, Allen. Aye. Barlow. No. Biteman. No. Blackburn.
No.
No. Blake.
Excused.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
No. Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Aye. Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
No.
Flitner.
No.
No. Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
No.
Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
No.
No. Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
No.
Halverson.
No.
No. Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
No. Jennings.
No.
No. Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
No. Lone.
No.
Laux.
No.
No. McGuire.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
No.
No. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye. Piperinen.
No.
No. Pawnell.
No.
No. Salazar.
No.
No. Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
No.
No. Summers.
Aye.
Aye. Steinmetz.
No.
No. Stith.
Aye.
Aye. Sweeney.
Aye.
Aye. Walters.
Aye.
Aye. Wilson.
Aye.
Aye. Winters.
No.
No. Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Allen, aye. Tano, further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 31 aye, 28 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 28 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 40. Reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 40, sponsored by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Election Code Revisions, an act relating to elections. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have amendments. We have two amendments. The first amendment, third reading amendment number one, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sorry for my delay. Thought we were on a different bill. All right, so I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill number 40 and ask for your favorable consideration. So when we were talking about this bill, the thought occurred to me, this is in particular those limits, the feet in regards to a polling place. And we had that discussion whether it should be yards or whether it should be feet. And the thought occurred to me, as you all know, I use a wheelchair. I have a handicap parking sticker. And at least in my local courthouse, I park right up front, and that's our polling place. And if I have a bumper sticker on my car that says support Scott Clem or something like that, or re-elect Scott Clem, I'm using my name here, I wonder if I could get in trouble for such a thing. Or, for instance, if we had a little old lady who supports a candidate and she's going to her polling place and she's going in to vote absentee or whatever it might be, is she in violation of the law? And so really what this amendment does is on page 15, line 18, it just says, this section shall not apply to a bumper sticker affixed to a vehicle while parked within or passing through the distance specified in this section. I think it's pretty cut and dry and pretty simple. Ask for your aye vote. Thank you.
Anyone else? Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've gone back and forth on the amendment. I don't think it's super simple, but just information for the body, because I do think the intent is right. I think almost every election cycle I've had to tell people, remember to take that bumper sticker off your car when you go vote. Actually, my family had one of the people running for Congress, his spouse was voting and had to remind her she had to take it off as she was parked in the parking lot with four bumper stickers on her car. And I guess one thing that I've learned in election law for 10 years is no matter what the law is, people will find a way around it. And so I have some concern, you know, you'll put eight bumper stickers on your car, park it there on the lot, and say, oh, I'm exempt. That being said, I don't think when I've talked to the county clerks in the state elections division, we've ever actually prosecuted anyone for a bumper sticker for electioneering. So the intent's good. If the amendment passes, I might bring some language to clean it up some. But I just ask you to remember those kind of things that – if people can find a way around election and campaigning laws, they will.
Representative Howerson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in support of this amendment, and I noticed that the amendment does say a bumper sticker. So it seems to me that if someone pulled up with a truck covered with bumper stickers, that could be construed as electioneering. I think this is a good amendment, and I urge your support.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time. Question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number one to House Bill 40, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Third reading amendment has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment to House Bill 40, number two. And that is Representative Larson Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number two to House Bill number 40. This is a pretty simple amendment. You should be able to decide pretty quick, obviously. We discussed it the other day. This amendment brings back what the Corporations Committee discussed during interim, specifically about the distance electioneering must be from polling places. In current form, the distance is 100 yards at all times. With my amendment, electioneering will be allowed within 100 feet of polling places, except on primary, general, and special election days. So pretty simple. Vote aye.
Representative Powers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do support this amendment. I think it clears up a couple of issues we've been having, including electioneering. And I think this addresses this very well, and I urge your aye vote.
Anyone else? Question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 40, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. That amendment has passed. We are now back on the bill. Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
House Bill 40, Allen. Aye, Barlow. Aye, Biteman. No, Blackburn. Aye, Blake. Excused. Bovey. Aye, Brown. Aye, Burkhart. Aye, Byrd. Aye, Clausen. Aye, Clem. Aye, Connolly. Aye, Court. Aye, Crank. Aye, Dayton. Aye, Edwards. Aye, Eklund. Aye, Ayer. Aye, Flitner. Aye, Freeman. Aye, Furphy. Aye, Giroux. Aye, Gray. Aye, Greer. Aye, Haley. Aye, Hallinan. Aye, Halverson. Aye, Henderson. Aye, Hunt. Aye, Jennings. Aye, Kenner. Aye, Kirkbride. Aye, Larson Lloyd. Aye, Larson Dan. Aye, Lindholm. Aye, Lone. Aye, Laux. Aye, McGuire. Aye, Madden. Aye, Miller. Aye, Nicholas. Aye, Northrup. Aye, Obermuller. Aye, Olson. Aye, Paxton. Aye, Pelkey. Aye, Piperinen. Aye, Ponell. Aye, Salazar. Aye, Schwartz. Aye, Simpson. Aye, Summers. Aye, Steinmetz. Aye, Stiff. Aye, Sweeney. Aye, Walters. Aye, Wilson. Aye, Winters. Aye, Zwanitzer. Aye, Mr. Speaker. Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Blake, excused. Aye. To aye. Further changes? Biteman, no. To aye. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye.
House Bill 40. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 40 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 70. The reading clerk, please read the bill.
House Bill 70, sponsored by Representative Lindholm, Open Blockchain Tokens, Exemptions, an Act Relating to Securities, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
We have an amendment. Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 70. And this is something I've been working over, working with the Secretary of State's office in regards to some of the fraud aspects of ICOs and how do we look at that. Currently, right now, there's 2 provisions of our statutes that handle fraud. And there's the Uniform Security Act, and that handles that in Title 17. And then there's Title 6. And so under the way the legislation was written, Title 6 would have come into play in regards to how fraud was handled. Well, that's fine and everything, except for that's where our county attorneys are at. That's where our attorney general is. I promise you they do not want that. So working with the Secretary of State, the state's office, in regards to this, working out this amendment and including it, we brought them in regards to the Uniform Security Act and how that fraud aspect is handled. And you can see on the amendment, that's basically that's all this amendment does is add those statutes. In fact, if you look on the amendment on lines 15 through 21,
notwithstanding any other provisional law, a developer, seller, or a person who facilitates the exchange of an open blockchain token is subject to the provisions of Wyoming Statute 17.4501 through 503 and 17.4505 through 510, only to the extent necessary to carry out those sections. And I've got those right here. So 501 is your general fraud. 502 is your prohibited conduct providing investment advice. 503 is evidentiary burden. 504, and we don't include this aspect for the same reason we don't include that on crowdfunding, and that is filing of sales advertising language. That's specifically for your traditional type of securities, not crowdfunding, not in this situation ICOs. 505, misleading filings. 506, misrepresentation. 507, qualified immunity. 508, criminal penalties. 509, civil liability. And 510, rescission offers. So those bring those aspects into play and makes this legislation kind of come together. And once again, I just going over the aspect that we're the first to ever do this, hence the amendments, working through the process, working with a great agency that's been a good hand on this. So I'll stand for any questions on the amendment.
Anyone else would like to speak? Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to stand in support of this amendment. I think it's a good one, and it takes the steps I believe is necessary to protect this statute going forward, given the rapid pace of the unfolding of these types of things.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to clarify, really, because I voted for the original bill as it's been processing through. I think it's great moving forward, but I remember that the main point of this was to not have these people be considered under as securities traders, and I'm sure that the bringer of the amendment has considered that. But if you could just clarify and help us make sure when we're writing our notes to talk to other folks about that, the only point is to have them be considered under the fraud provisions of that act, but otherwise not be a security trader, and just make me feel good about that.
Okay, anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else their second time before the sponsor? Second time sponsor, Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker, and great question from the representative from our capital area. Specifically, yeah, these are new asset classes. They're not a security. So this new asset class, and that's why we specifically included the language of subsection C to only carry out these sections only to the extent necessary. So we're saying, yeah, we're not a security, but these are already in these fraud regulations are already in statute. So we're going to go ahead and use them instead of repeating everything that's already here. We're going to use them. So thank you for the question. Really appreciate it. Stand for vote aye.
Okay, we are voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 70. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed, say no. That amendment has been adopted. We are now on, we have an amendment that has been distributed, third reading amendment number two to House Bill 70. Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the comments I just made, given those, I respectfully withdraw third reading amendment number two to House Bill 70.
Okay, that amendment. That amendment has been withdrawn. We are now voting on House Bill 70. The question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
House Bill 70. Allen? Aye. Barlow? Aye. Biteman? Aye. Blackburn? Aye. Blake? Aye. Bovee? Aye. Brown? Aye. Burkhart? Aye. Byrd? Aye. Clausen. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Court. Aye. Crank. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edwards. Aye. Eklund. Aye. Ayer. Aye. Flitner. Aye. Freeman. Aye. Furphy. Aye. Guru. Aye. Gray. Aye. Greer. Aye. Haley. Aye. Hallinan. Aye. Halverson. I. Henderson. I. Hunt. I. Jennings. I. Kinner. I. Kirkbride. I. Larson Lloyd. I. Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm.
Aye.
Aye. Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermueller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stith.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 60 aye.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 70 has passed the House. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 74.
House Bill 74, sponsored by Appropriations, Investments, Task Force, an act relating to public funds and public employee retirement funds. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have three amendments. We'll consider third reading amendment number one first, and that is sponsored by Representative Ayer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 74 and urge your favorable consideration. This amendment merely removes the requirement that one of the three appointees to the State Investments Task Force from both chambers be appointed from that, be members of that committee over appropriations. And I do this kind of to spare those people, as I've observed what those members have done over the last couple of months and the beginning of this session. I think they're beginning to stretch the definition of a citizen legislature. I have the highest regard for those who serve on appropriations. The amount of time they spend and their depth of knowledge is remarkable, and the knowledge that they have regarding the budget details, I'm just in awe. I'm proposing this amendment because I believe that we should not place this added burden on any of them. I also believe that we may benefit from a fresh set of eyes on this new investment task force. I'm not sure that the skill set and knowledge and background that the task force members would be required to have is necessarily the same as those who serve on the Appropriations Committee. And I think we're investing too much responsibility in too few of legislators, and I think it would benefit us to spread and diffuse some of that responsibility in a wider circle of legislators. So I urge your favorable vote on this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else like to speak on this amendment? Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Boy, that's a first. Member of this body worried about the welfare of the Appropriations Committee. Whoa. Ladies and gentlemen, the main reason for that designation of one from each body from Appropriations is really to continue with that institutional knowledge of all the work that's already been done in this area. And that's the reason, just pure and simple. And there are two other members on there. I know all of you will jump up and down and wave your hands to be appointed to the task force. So you get to work with Appropriations Committee for a while. Thank you.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't have a lot of heartburn with this particular motion. As I'm thinking about it and I'm hearing him talking, what we really ought to do is probably add one more House member and one more Senate member in order to spread that knowledge around and get as many folks to understand this as possible, because it's going to be a fairly intensive project that's going to require a lot of expertise and have a lot of expertise brought to it in order to really understand what needs to happen. So, I appreciate the idea that we don't have enough legislators who are doing a lot of the homework during the, a lot of folks get their summers off and some of us don't. But I'd rather see one more person than this, but Either one, so it's okay.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On in support of the amendment, an old saying is many hands make for light work, and there's this body with many hands, and we should spread that out. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? Seeing none. Anyone for their second time? Of those folks who spoke their first time? No one else for the second time. Now we're back to the sponsor, Representative Ayer.
I just reemphasize the point I made in my first introductory address. I'm aware of the fact that even with this amendment, that members of the appropriations, that Committee on Appropriations could still be appointed, just that they wouldn't have a requirement to be on that committee. So I urge your favorable vote on this amendment.
Okay, we are voting on third reading amendment number one to House Bill 74. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all those in favor, please stand. I don't think I'm in doubt anymore. Yeah, at least 40. Okay, third reading amendment number one has been adopted. That's my bad right ear. Okay, now we're gonna hold third reading amendment number two to the end. And so now we're on third reading amendment number three, Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number three to House Bill 74 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, what this amendment does is simply remove the director of the Wyoming Retirement System as an ex officio non-voting member and will make that person equal to the other members of the task force and be a voting member. You know, the reason being is that this is an important decision regarding what will happen to the potential combination of the treasurer's office and the retirement system. The treasurer has a full vote, and I think that the retirement system director should have one as well. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Any other members would like to speak on this amendment? Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd refer you to the bill itself on page 2, Romanet 4. One member appointed by the Wyoming Retirement Board not later than March 31st, 2018. And then Romanet 5, the director of the Wyoming Retirement System or a designee of the director shall serve as an ex officio non-voting member. If you think about this a little bit, the director can be a voting member if so directed by the board, and the director would appoint another designee as non-voting. So they actually get two members, not just one. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Nicholas?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yeah, I would agree. In fact, we're kind of stacking it in some ways for the retirement folks as opposed to the state treasurer's office. And remember, what's important about boards or committees is you don't want to have an even number of folks on the committee because you need to have someone has to win the argument at the end of the day. So when it sits with 11, you can have 6 and 5. If you've got 6 and 6, it's just not a good way to conduct business as a practical matter. Number two, and probably more importantly, is, you know, we as the body of the legislature, we establish policy. We give directives to state agencies. So why would you create a committee that at the end of the day that there is a veto power by the state agency on what recommendations you're making on the operations of that state agency? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, it's our fundamental obligation to make sure they're doing their job and that they are performing the job as directed by the state legislature. So on and against.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is kind of a tough one for me, but when I did read the bill over the first time, which is a week or so ago, it struck me that there's a parallel nature between the treasurer on the part of the other funds that we're talking about, and then the retirement chairman or director is parallel in a lot of sense, but we're talking about retirement funds. So I think that it won't hurt to pass this bill, and it might be a good idea as a way to start off on the right track and in a positive sense. So I support it.
Okay, anyone else would like to speak for the first time on this amendment? Moving to our second time, anyone before the sponsor? Seeing none, Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And again, the retirement board person who is listed in Romanet 4 is a volunteer, does not have the expertise of the director of the retirement system. So again, I really think to be parallel with the treasurer, the director of the retirement system should be a voting member. And then in terms of having an odd versus an even number, you know, we're a body of 60. Right, the chamber down the hall is a body of 30. Lots of times our committees have even numbers on them, and we do fine with that voting. So I'll ask your favorable consideration of this amendment, and then ultimately a no vote on the bill. Thank you.
Okay. We are voting on third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 74. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
That amendment has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 2. Representative Clem.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I move third reading amendment number 2, and I will withdraw it at the appropriate time. Mr. Speaker, this is a delightfully wonderful, good little bill worth killing, and that's why I'm bringing this up here. I have some real issues with this, and let me tell you why I have some issues. This is all about maximizing our current revenue, right? And the problem that I have with this is not the idea that we want to maximize our existing revenues is a good one. I don't disagree with that whatsoever. What I disagree with is the route that we're going. And I mentioned this the other day, and I want to remind the body and just bring it to our attention. You heard just the other day, we have not utilized our existing knowledge, tools, and resources. The skills that we have available in this body and in the body down the hall, we have not utilized our own resources before going ahead and spending more money and creating a new task force. We have our good interim revenue committee. And instead of maximizing existing investment income, we sent that dog out on a hunt to go find new taxes. And I contend that maximizing existing revenue would have been a great interim study, a great interim topic for our revenue committee. But instead, we keep doing the same old things over and over and over again. And I would contend that this is a misuse of government resources. We haven't utilized what we have existing, what's available to us at our fingertips. And instead, we're going to go ahead and create a new task force and spend more money. It's government at its finest, or we just spend more money. Big government at work. And really, that's my issue with this bill. It's not the fact that we're wanting to desire to maximize our investment income. It's how we're going about doing it. We haven't tried. Frankly, we haven't tried other means first. We're just going to go ahead and create a task force and spend more money. And that's what we're doing. I think that's wrong. I think it's a misuse of government resources, especially at a time when we have deficits, structural deficit, upwards to almost $1 billion. And we're going to go ahead and spend more money without using the existing knowledge, skills, and tools that we already have. I think that's a crying shame. So I would ask you to vote no on this bill at the appropriate time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. That amendment has been withdrawn. We're going to have anyone would like to speak the first time. And that we'll go with Chairman Nicholas and then Representative Freeman to follow him. Go ahead, Chairman.
So thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, we're doing about two or three or four really for me, really important things this budget cycle. Balancing the budget, paying our bills, figuring out ways to have efficiencies in state government, and evaluating our current funding process or in our revenue process for our state investment dollars. And so this is literally, this is the genesis of one of the most important things that I think over the next year that we can get done as a body and as a legislature. And I would respectfully submit to everyone here that not one of us is an expert in this particular area. I don't see any investment bankers that do nothing but work with world funds and how those are managed here. I don't see anyone in the department on our revenue committee that has that type of capabilities.
No.
I mean, it's going to be a big load, and it's going to be basically listening to the experts and going and looking at what a couple of the other states who are successful in doing it are doing, and come up with at least tentative proposals on whether or not it's realistic that we can increase our basis points on our return of investment funds of over $30 billion to make more money. And just imagine if we can come back and get one higher basis point without a substantial risk increase. We would be fixed. We would have half of our education issue resolved if we could do that in one mechanism or another. This is absolutely incredible obligation and opportunity that we have to do this. And it will be a big hole, but quite honestly, we all know we don't have the expertise to do this. We all are going to get the experts to explain to us how it might be done and ways to protect our funds, to protect our state, and protect our livelihood. So it's going to be a very, very interesting thing to do. And frankly, I think we have the complete cooperation of the folks down the hall. We have the cooperation of the chief executive on this, and we have the cooperation of both retirement and the treasurer's office. They're a little spooked about it because they don't want to, in essence, think that someone's going to come in and shotgun our investment policies and tear things upside down. And frankly, but that's just not going to happen. It's going to be a conservative, thoughtful approach to see what we can do to maximize our revenues. And just knock on wood, we hope that we can get that done. But I would submit this is a very, very important bill.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I agree that it's an important topic that we should do. I cut my teeth before I came to the legislature going to committee meetings, and I discovered whenever you have a legislative heavy committee, especially on something that's that has as a focal point, my experience has been in education, that the committee tends to bend to legislative will. I would feel more comfortable if we had a legislative committee that would study this, or that we would have an expert committee. But to put the two together, in my experience, I haven't seen great results.
Anyone else? Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I share the bringer of the amendment's concerns about task forces and so forth, but, you know, when I look at this, and I've been looking at it for a dozen years, that, you know, these returns and what can be done to make us more like a lot of other institutions, part of it is deals with combinations and collaboration and stuff like that. But the big thing I'm totally convinced of in our apparatus when it comes to state investments is the governance. And I cannot see any other way where we can have a session or an apparatus set up where we can really have some open discussions about governance. And governance is something that I certainly wouldn't want the legislature exclusively to deal with. So that's why I very much support this effort, because we need to get around this old-fashioned governance that's been plaguing us for probably centuries. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support this legislation, and I'll tell you why. Is, you know, we talk about government efficiencies and the need to push forward on that. And I look at this as a government efficiencies bill myself. I too have fought against every task force select committee, but we're not talking about building bike paths here. We're talking about utilizing our funds better. And I served on the JEC when we went through the process of trying to bring some of this work in-house with the treasurer's office. And it was very difficult to get that done. But now serving on CAP Finance with a good share of revenue, we're seeing the benefit of that. We are saving millions and tens of millions of dollars in fees and actually getting a better return. Now, how do we do that? How do we find those efficiencies over in with our retirement plans? Well, we can start to follow that same model. But as the chairman of revenue said, the governance on it is critical. How we end up getting the rules and regulations put together for that is critical. And it is cumbersome to do that in our standing committee process, because what we do in our standing committee process is we put forth proposals and then we have people comment on it. And then before we know it, we run out of time and we get a bill that's not just quite ready yet. This type of task force is a good example where people can sit down and say, all right, this is how we can be more efficient. All right, this is how we don't spend fees on advisors and investors back east. This is how we can do it in-house and get a better return on the retirement and not have to keep going back and making our state employees and our teachers have to pay more out of their check to keep the retirement, the pension plan running. So I this is, you know, I never say never on anything. And I'm not a big fan of task forces, but this is one that makes sense and one that will really pay dividends.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I appreciate the arguments about having a standing committee look at this, but in the standing committees, and this is somewhat repetitious on what you've heard, and try not to belabor it, but we'll bring those agencies in for whom we ask to come before the committee to report on things that we're trying to determine, and they can give us their viewpoints. They realize that there is a certain amount of decorum and generally some limits to which they can approach the standing committee, and a certain amount of recommendation that they can make, and at the end of the day, our standing committee will vote and move forward. And we've all seen times when we've totally disregarded testimony that the agencies have brought to us or those that are the experts in running that, and other times when we listen to it. Having them be part of the committee that you can actually have voting members that is available to us when we do a task force, I think puts them on a different playing field, as our good chairman of revenue and minerals have indicated. And they then are able to talk to us very frankly, and are able to have discussions that are outside the normal box of a standing committee, and feel somewhat as an equal to us, and really allow to have a comprehensive discussion on how these sorts of things should move forward. This is a critical effort that I think will benefit the state for generations to come, and will, in essence, change everything we do in our investment part of our government. And I would encourage you to vote for this bill. I think that you'll be pleased with the efforts.
Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We just hired several people for the office that overlooks this. I think that they ought to be left alone to do their job on and against the bill.
Anyone else? Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think there seems to be a aversion to expert opinion by these financial experts on the floor here. I think that these folks, they are the experts in the field, and we ought to leave them do their job. I don't think that it's possible that there is a holy grail that we can submit to get a higher rate of return other than the expert opinion that is already being used. So I would say I would oppose this bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I would just urge a hair of caution. I don't really have a dog in this fight, so to speak, but it seems to me that we already have this already decided that this is going to happen. So I guess I question if we're going to have the man or the woman who is the treasurer of the state having a vote on this, but we're not going to allow the other agency that this affects to have a vote. I'm a little concerned on that, and it seems as if we're already stacking the cards on that side. And we've already heard that if we allow the amendment that was proposed earlier, that this was going to fix that. And so I guess I'm a little concerned on that portion of this. And if we've already made up our mind, why don't we just direct it to do it? Why do we need a task force? Why do we need this investment task force? Why do we need to spend the money? If we know that this is what we want to do, I guess I question why we're going to spend the money to do this. So vote your conscience, but I would urge a little bit of caution as we do it.
Chairman Zwanzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. So I hear what everybody's saying, and I think it's really great, and I do think it's needed, but I also hear what everybody's saying, and I look at the statute and what you're doing, and you're putting six people that the Chairman of Appropriations, I think, already told us that nobody in this room or probably down the hall is an expert. So you're putting six people who aren't experts and five people who are, arguably, on the same task force, and it's lopsided. And I guess somebody I need to be addressed why we've made a 6-5 task force with six people, the majority, who may not have this knowledge. And I guess my other question is, if this bill goes down today, I think you can still put this in the budget. I know we hate legislating through budget footnotes, but I think if it does go down, we can work together on a budget amendment that puts us back in and gets the voting members and the non-voting members and this committee structure figured out where we all can be comfortable moving forward with giving the right people on this committee with the right expertise to make this really effective. But I do kind of keep hearing that it's already a done deal. We got to do this. And if we do, I don't think you need the structure we have set up in the bill right now.
Representative Bayer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am not a fan of more task forces. I'm pretty skeptical about creating a task force for everything that we do. However, I believe in this case that the cost of passing this bill, when compared against the potential return, is worth that chance. I'm not sure this task force is the answer, but I do know that we should and could be doing better on the returns of our state funds. And as the good chairman of appropriations has mentioned, the potential return is enormous. If we could improve 1%, it would be hundreds of millions of dollars. So I think this task force is a good thing. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? Okay, any members who have seen none? Any members who have already spoken would like to speak a second time? Seen none. I think we're moving on to the... Would you like a second time, Chairman Nicholas?
Please.
Please proceed.
Well, I appreciate all of the good comments. At the end of the day, it may not be your favorite mechanism, but I don't think anyone is opposed to the concept of what this is trying to do, and that's getting a group of experts together to explain to a legislative body who will be then make recommendations on how we can increase our rate of return and how we can make more money with our money. And remember that part of the concept of this thing, you have to have some legislation come out of it or some recommended legislation. Part of that legislation is going to be, or at least will be studied, looking at the remuneration or the compensation that we pay these investment advisors that come to our state. and pay them more or do a performance-based compensation model. All of the folks that really are on the upper echelons of the investment world, states to the north of us, states to the south of us, they have a compensation package within their investment portfolio group that gives them bonuses or compensation in addition to being a regular state employee. As a result of that, they get very qualified, aggressive, brilliant people that will come live in their communities and perform this work that we're now spending over $110 million a year. We are paying those folks from out of state, from New York, from San Francisco to London. Why are we doing this? Why can't we have 15 of those people living here or living someplace in Wyoming making $500,000 or $750,000 a year, but so all those dollars will stay with us and have a better operation and rate of return on our dollars in front of us. You know, at the end of the day, we may be coming back saying, you know what, we're going to need more state employees for this because there's going to be a rate of return. And for every time we can increase it a quarter of a point, we're going to pay for 15 people at $1 million a year if we can bring up those kind of returns. Why wouldn't we go through this exercise? And that's what this committee is going to do. And if there's a better way to do it, I'd welcome your input on it. But this is the best we could come up with. So appreciate your support.
Chairman Madden, for your second time.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since I was up here last speaking, I the flow of the discussion seemed to be that the main focus of this task force will be on collaboration of the two investment offices, and that is not what I'm seeing here. What we need to have, we could do that as a vote among ourselves, but what we don't have is a framework of the appropriate collaboration on how this is organized and who's calling the shots, and how many people are calling the shots are employees, and how many are legislators, and how many are money managers, and that kind of thing. That's the thing that differs us from other similar entities like the state of Wyoming versus the rest of the states is the pecking order or the governance of these retirement entities. And this governance can be studied and looked at without even bringing up anything about consolidation.
Okay, any other members for the second time? I think we're ready to bring us home here, Representative Clem.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I thank the body for the consideration and the good debate here. Let me just kind of recap and give some insightful information, hopefully some new information to just get you to think about this. So what was it, about a year or so ago we said that, you know, we're in our good treasurer's office that we're paying too much in fees, the overhead is too high, and now we need to add 7 new employees to the tune of about $2 million so that we can capitalize on returns. And that's what was told to us. And we went ahead and went along with that. Now we come to this year and we say, you know what, fees are too high, overhead is too high, and we need to create a task force now so we can capitalize on returns, even though we added 7 new employees already. And you just heard it just a moment ago, Mr. Speaker. We heard one of our speakers that had said, you know what, the task force may come back and may have the recommendation that we add more employees so we can capitalize more on returns. And that's what we're hearing. So from what I'm hearing is we've spent money in the past, we've added to the good treasurer's office so that we could reduce those fees, do more in-house, have more knowledge in-house, so we wouldn't have to rely upon others. I'm also hearing, I mean, just from the things that I've heard on the floor, it sounds like there's a good direction to go, and there's people in this body who have some good knowledge. And yet we're not, what I've heard is throughout the interim and up until now, we have not used existing knowledge, skills, or tools to investigate this ourselves. So instead, what we're going to do is we're going to create a task force, and we're going to spend more money. We're going to staff it with, or we're going to put a bunch of legislators on there with some experts, And we're going to go down that road, even though we kind of have a general idea of where we want to go anyway. I think we're just hunting for some information. That information might just say, you know what, you need to add to your treasurer's office. And let's just play this out here for just a second. So let's say we go ahead and we pass this bill. When we get to interim committee discussions and all that kind of stuff, and our good revenue committee, what are we going to do? I mean, we've got a good revenue committee, folks. That dog knows how to hunt. And we've sent it on a hunt for taxes, and we came back with a whole lot of taxes. I guarantee that's going to happen again, because that's going to be the interim topics. Revenue committee, all right, let's go hunting. And instead of hunting for ways to maximize existing revenues, to me it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So, Mr. Speaker, with that, I know it's new. We've got work to do. I respectfully withdraw my amendment. Vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Third reading amendment number 2 has been withdrawn. We are now voting on House Bill 74. The question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
House Bill 74. Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Barlow.
No.
Biteman.
No.
No. Blackburn.
No.
No. Blake.
No.
No. Bovee.
No.
No. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Byrd.
No.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
No.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
No.
Piperinen.
No.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Simpson.
No.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stith.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 38 aye, 22 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 74 has passed the House. Members, before we go to committee announcements and recess for noon committee meetings and lunch, we've got a couple announcements. When we come back, then, we're going to go to Committee of the Whole on House Bill 1. And so there's been some information. And Chairman Nicholas, maybe just real quick summarize what just has been delivered to our desk.
You bet. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, everyone has the what we used to call a cheat sheet. Now we call it the summary sheet. And what this does, if you check it out, it has the governor's rec, JAC rec, and what the ultimate bill came out was. And then down below in the red are actions taken by the Joint Appropriations Committee. In the black are the governor's. So it's a two-tone. So that helps kind of as you walk through it through each agency. And so as we go through the budget this afternoon, lots of folks, it's just a lot easier to work off of this to see exactly what we did by each motions. And you'll see a couple other things, and we'll describe this in more detail after lunch. But a lot of these things are redundant. For example, we did certain things with retirement and contributions to retirement. So those, they walk down through every agency. So after a while, we just won't need to talk about them anymore because it's a reduction here, reduction here, reduction there. So we'll walk through those with you as we go through your data sheet. And we'll, as we go through it, we'll tell you what page we're on in the budget, and then what page we're on the summary sheet. You also have you'll have a handout. It looks kind of like this, and this is trying to be an overall view or overall picture of kind of where we're at in terms of our education deficit, our funding dollars available, and how we divide it up to pay certain things the way we did it. At the end of this, you'll see and we'll describe this again this afternoon, but if you have any questions about it, you can look at it over the lunch hour. This is like page 9 in the back. This is something that is a House Joint Appropriations second reading amendment that's coming to you. You remember over the last 2 days I mentioned that the Joint Appropriations Committee took certain actions with regards to SIPA and expenditures on LISRA that we could not come to an agreement with. And so at the end of the day, we had to pass something out to have something hit the floor. So what we passed out was the Senate's version of expenditures, which frankly we just disagreed with. So this is the component that will be basically a House Appropriations Committee sponsored second reading amendment. And we'll walk you through this as well as we in our introductions after lunch and as we move forward. So finally, you also have a sheet that's got all of the this is just a nice handy sheet that shows the differences in direct dollars per agency just going down the line. And so it's kind of a clean, simple way to understand what the cuts are if you just kind of walk down through it. So if you have questions about it, and the process will be, we're not going to be opening and closing separate agencies like we have in the past, because we're not required to do it, and it's a lot of time. We'll get up, we'll explain each agency, take questions on each agency, and then we'll come up and then hit the next agency, and each item eyes and through those agencies. So with that, Mr. Speaker, I think good reading through the through lunchtime, and we'll kick off
okay.
at 2 o'clock.
Okay, thank you. And so when you get going, I would just suggest you have your summary sheet and you have your bill, and you just keep turning those both. They all go together, and you can keep – and if there's a part, you can write a note here, and you can write a note on your bill, and you have all that. And so the idea over the next 2 days now is to explain this on Committee of the Whole. And then you can, if you have changes, suggested changes, you put them in an amendment form on second reading, right? And so the next 2 days in our Committee of the Whole is going to be filled with House Bill 1. And so with that, I'm going to go to committee announcements. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet immediately upon noon recess to hear the following four House bills. House Bill 3, County Clerk Map Recording Fees. House Bill 135, Housing Authorities, House Bill 146, Equal Pay Penalties, and House Bill 2, Election Law Violations.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 10 will meet upon adjournment today to consider five bills: House Bill 81, CHIP State Administration, House Bill 159, Child Labor Penalties, House Bill 86, Medicaid Birth Recovery, Cost Recovery, House Bill 145, Pharmaceutical Manufacturers, Off-Label Use, House Bill 155, Consolidated Prevention Services. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 4, Education, will meet today upon adjournment in room H38. We're going to work on House Bill 122, Special Educators Workers' Compensation, continued from Friday. We'll also do House Bill 108, Estelle Real, House Bill 153, Hathaway Expanded Wyoming Scholarships, and House Bill 156, Wyoming Songs.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee Number 1, Judiciary, will meet upon noon recess in room H38 to discuss two bills, House Bill 17, Child Support Amendments, and House Bill 55, Property Offenses.
Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday, at 8 a.m. in room H36 to discuss House Bill 91, Right to Repair.
Any other committee announcements? Any privileges of the floor, other announcements? Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, just to remind you that the mental health and substance abuse folks have a lunch down in L51 today, so if you'd like to stop by and visit with them and enjoy partaking lunch, that's available today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House appropriations will meet on adjournment. We will do House Bill 185 and 186. We will not be doing capital construction 194. I don't think we're going to get to that today. And I think there's one or two re-referrals.
Is that noon recess?
Noon recess, yeah. I'm sorry, noon recess. So, thank you.
Any other announcements? Okay, Mr. Majority, floor leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2:15 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed say no. The House is in recess until 2 p.m. As I said, let me correct. The House is in recess until 2:15. It's my bad left ear, I heard. 2:15.